Welcome to the Play Talk podcast.
Hi, I'm Max.
And I'm Sarah. Okay, so yeah, museums, play. What are we going to be thinking about today? What are our initial thoughts about thinking about museums and children and young people's play, really, and maybe adults' play too? I think, you know, different perspectives we come from.
Yeah, for sure. I think I suggested this topic because I have noticed, I'm sure if people have noticed too, that museums and art galleries, and I know sometimes they're one and the same, sometimes they're different, are increasingly thinking and talking about play in those spaces. I've seen a lot of exhibitions that are sort of meant to be play spaces in these spaces. It seems to be something that's
I suppose that's part of the whole reconnection with all our public spaces, and that kind of we're still in a post-COVID way of thinking about what's out there, what do we go and see, and why do we bother? Like, we missed it when we couldn't go, and now we're going back to it. What is it about them that is enjoyable and fun and we want to be in them? And I suppose people are thinking, you know, what that is. And I suppose particularly for families or just for children and people, what is the play element? So maybe that's what's triggering that interest from the settings themselves. It's interesting as well that you said, yeah, museums and galleries, you know, when I've been thinking about this, I've been thinking, so what is a museum? What's a museum?
I'm often not sure whether, I think I use them interchangeably, but I guess they are different. But a lot of museums have galleries in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But I definitely associate museum galleries as being like older art, and then I think of galleries as being like more contemporary spaces, but I think that might be a bit of a false dichotomy. I must have made that up, but
no, actually, I'm really intrigued by that because I came at it the same thinking: museums, old places full of old stuff people have collected; traditional art galleries, old paintings people have collected. Like, what's the difference? But then contemporary galleries are where art is created for the venue, maybe more, But then museums are changing, and the museums are kind of becoming places created to learn and experience a new idea, maybe.
I don't think they're the fixed environment that I sort of still associate with them, probably from my childhood experience of museums. Of school trips to museums and them being feeling quite like a static place.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's necessarily true anymore. And it's definitely maybe needs to not be true for those spaces to be more playful. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? And our perspective, you know, like our perspectives are different. You know, we're different ages. You know, we're different people. We've got different ideas about what they are. But that's what, you know, the public will have views of museums, and that will influence whether they choose to go or not, depending on their own experience, isn't it? And what's ever drawn them in.
And I think that's the thing that really comes to mind for me when I think about play in museums and encouraging play in museums. It's like the immediate question that comes to mind for me is how playful can these spaces be? How much freedom is possible? And is there a clash between the museum gallery space and play spaces? I don't think I know the answer. I don't think it's a no.
Yeah.
Or a yes. I think there's probably a lot of nuance in there. But I guess there's something about the freedom, the capacity for freedom, the permission, and the idea that people are coming into those spaces with expectations, understanding of how they're meant to behave in those spaces, and how do you counteract that to enable to facilitate play in those spaces?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And that sense whole thing enough about how you're meant to, what is expected of you as a person entering into a museum? Are you meant to be quite a passive person? And it's like you kind of, I suppose when you are a person in a museum, you have to be quite creative in your mind because you're meant to be making sense of things. It's usually just very visual, aren't they? You're looking at stuff and your brain is making connections, which requires you to be quite creative in yourself, like how you make meaning out of something, even just as an adult, even if you're reading text. I may be going off the thing about play, but I'm just thinking about what is the process of going into museum
I think that's quite interesting because it's like what are the already playful aspects of a museum and gallery spaces that might enable more play, like
yes.
the idea that if you're going and you're maybe being put into a more creative headspace. I wonder what other things are maybe...
You're opening your mind to things you've not seen before. You know, you've got to be kind of... There are places that you often generally... Unless you've bought a ticket for a particular thing, which was my experience recently, there are places you kind of wander around, don't you? When you go from, oh my goodness, like some weird bit of pottery to some piece of art. I don't know, there are places where you have... sort of serendipity, you know, you have kind of randomness.
And that's definitely something that you see in play spaces and playgrounds.
Yeah.
I guess. So there's that sort of lots of ideas sharing the same space. New ways of experiencing things, looking at things, a lot of things to jump off from for inspiration for the play, I guess. So I was going to say, I think you mentioned this to me before, the fact that a lot of these places are collections and collections of objects gathered and how that is a really common theme in play already is the collecting and curating of objects in many different ways.
I love that part of it, that it comes out of this strange tradition that we maybe resist now, that idea of that kind of we'll order the world by collecting it and putting it in special boxes with labels. So we resist that it's part, and it's like quite a key part of children's play, isn't it? Collecting interesting bits and pieces and categorising them in ways that are often, adults maybe wouldn't do. Let's think of that. Maybe categorising them according to what they feel like or some other kind of story that's going on or something that's not like we would do in terms of species or source of origin or something. I don't know. But I do find that a connection between what adults do in with museums and collections and what children do in their managing of those things they play with, really, really interesting. That like you say, sometimes that whole, maybe museums are going play and children, this is a whole new concept, which actually there's many more connections within this institution of a museum.
Yeah, it reminds me of
the
sort of museum in a way as like an adult domain or an adult created thing. Makes me think of when I see a lot of things in sort of adult lives that are, we create structures to enable us to do kinds of play. And because we're adults now, we need those structures and permissive spaces, you know, we need sports and video games. And hey, maybe collecting and arranging stuff in your museum is another version of that.
Yes, yes.
A bit more niche perhaps, but
I think that's the piece where the piece I was going to mention talking about was because I work in early years and that's sort of my interest. I'm sort of following research that's going on at the moment. Abigail Hackett and her team, we'll put a link to the blog, you can have a look at it in the details about this chat, but they're looking at the experience of young children in museum spaces, and it's really about looking like observing or recording and tuning into young children's really physical experience in the museums, and that they're kind of the way they kind of respond to the space and the place. And it really reminds you of how we're just chatting about museums as if everyone knows what they are, but how they are they've got a layout, they're big, they kind of, they invite you to make sounds because they'll echo. They maybe invite you to run because they've got big open spaces and long corridors. And that children, young children in particular, but maybe adults too, you know, they're responding to that physical experience of being in a museum that is a different public space to being in a street, for example. But, you know, maybe for the child, it's just like, I'm in the street, that's that, I'm in the museum. These things kind of kind of call to their bodies to behave in different ways, you know, which play is then, you know, play is part of their way of being. So yeah, it's that what we notice when we think, where we contain children's play. That's, I think some of the article I think talks about a child going up and down stairs with an adult that they're with, and that we sort of locate play in. I don't know. I suppose my idea is you often have like dressing up clothes. You know, dress up like the Victorians in this little corner here where you can play and mess around. But the transitions between the exhibits are, or the lift. You know, the lift, the glass. The one I've gone into, the glass lift. Wow, that's a big sense of play there, isn't it?
Yeah, that consideration of physical space and thinking about, being, I guess, in the body, in the space as a person feels like, for me, it feels like a good place to start from when thinking about how to make spaces enable more playfulness. And I guess where often I may be a little skeptical or think, I'm not sure if that's that playful, is when people are starting from ideas and they're thinking, how can we learn about this through play? And it's about sort of the ideas and the knowledge is the starting point, which is obviously like totally valuable and can be a part of play. But yeah, starting from just how you're physically in the space and how you interact with it in a physical way.
Yeah.
And there's maybe a parallel there.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Sorry, can I just check it out? I just want to make, it's like a check for me to understand you.
Yes.
So if someone had like, someone was introducing some concept in a museum, like we've got a science exhibition, and they think our concept here is speed or something. How can we get children to understand that concept? All right, we'll do something playful. Yeah. So that compared with, let's start with the playing person, the playing child that is playing as they progress through this building. And then work from that.
That's
the thing. And that's
That makes more sense to me. And I was going to say, I feel like there's a parallel there with, like, in my work when I sort of work with adults on tuning into their playfulness and experiencing play as adults. A barrier that's often there for them is a need to understand and make meaning of what's happening in order to move into that more physical embodied experience space. And that's maybe what we've done with museums, is we're getting kids to come in, children, young people to come in. Maybe the adult tendency to do things in that order is impacting things.
Like come in.
Yeah.
Become still, suppress your play, and then we'll help you find your way back into it in a way that we've kind of pre-designed for you. Yeah, a playful way.
It's just another one of those things where we as adults can learn so much from paying attention to the children, assuming they know something, stuff that we don't.
Yeah.
That idea of that moving between. The moving between the spaces and how that's done, and where that's maybe where more play comes out than, like you say, when then going to the dressing up corner. Maybe the lift or the corridor inspires actually more sort of freedom and play.
It links to, when we were talking about this before, I was sort of pondering again, like, what is the point of them and how do they, we divide up people into children are here and they're playing and adults are here. One thing that struck me as well that I think I mentioned is that whole kind of how it affects you across your whole life. So, I was just talking to my son about it a while ago, and he chose to go to the museum recently because he had, as a teenager, because he had a positive memory of it from childhood. Mm-hmm. And his positive memory of it from childhood was, I suppose, about the right to be there and the enjoyment of running around and some physical enjoyment about it that meant that it was a place he was entitled to be and could be in and could enjoy, and therefore, as a teenager, it occurred to him he might want to go back and look at it. So it's a kind of funny, it's like it has its benefits in the moment that you're in it and how you experience it, but it has an impact on your whole sense of yourself across your life, I think. In the way that in Edinburgh, in the part of the Science Festival, I think it is, they have like museum late, or used to, I don't know, like the museum is open late.
Yes,
at night.
Yes.
And it's like, it's that same thing. It's like you're a young thing, you might want to go out in the evening and you can come to the museum instead of a bar. Yeah, it's got that sense of where do we sit in your state of your life and how you see us, you know, that playfulness isn't just about in the moment, it's about it as a public space, and then you're kind of right to be there. I wonder if that's that sense of why and how do museums want play to matter? It's because they want to matter in our lives, really. But I wonder then about what that impact is. If they matter in our lives and we go in and play in them, we're kind of transforming what they are, aren't we? And we may be challenging them a little bit. We may be head off in different directions about what they want, what they think of themselves as.
Which, I mean, I'm definitely all for. All right, I feel like that's maybe a likely outcome of, like, I guess, like, democratization of these spaces. But, yeah, I guess that's a really important thing about play spaces for me is the sense of ownership, which is generally not, I own this, but we own this. This is our space, and we get to impact it and change it.
Yeah.
And that's maybe where, that's where another way I'm interested in. Okay, so what does this look like in a museum? What should this look like in a museum? What could this look like in a museum?
Does that link to? I know you were saying you've went to an exhibition. Was it about play itself, or was it about?
So, I'll explain a little bit about it. So, I went to an exhibition called Equal Play, which was at Baltic in Gateshead.
Uh-huh.
And it was designed to be a play space within the larger space. So the artist is called Albert Petroni. And he does a lot of stuff around play. It's quite a consistent inspiration for him. So it's a space in the gallery that it was kind of, I think it's meant to be like an immersive play space. Petroni's kind of ideas were about exploring non-gendered and non-prescriptive play, which was sort of, that seemed to be like his kind of interest. He's also someone who does a lot of work around, I guess, like looking at archival stuff around men's role in childcare. That's kind of like another element of his work. And it was inspired by the architect Aldo van Eyck. He's a Dutch architect who's responsible for a lot of playgrounds that exist in Amsterdam, I believe. Which were kind of post World War II. And they were designed to sort of be non-prescriptive, which is interesting in its own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of metal, a lot of kind of abstract metal frameworks, a lot of like very geometrical stuff, not a lot of colour. The kind of things that I look at them and I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. I see them I see a picture of it. I don't see children playing in it. And I just I want to see how people actually interact with this. So that was sort of the background. Something I found really interesting about this actually is that was his main reference in the gallery in terms of what the information it provided. And there was no mention of playwork anywhere. And I find that really, I'm like, there must be, you know, it's that kind of like, it's like a separate world, but you know, it's all about encouraging free play and children's autonomy. And also like the space was set up, it was clearly to enable some risk taking. So there's a lot of ideas from playwork clearly in there, but that wasn't sort of connected up. The space itself, it was, It's quite a big open space. It had some kind of fixed architectural elements. It had a long kind of wooden box, snaking through the middle, kind of dividing up the space. It had a couple of kind of railings built in, kind of, I guess, like referencing those more outdoor playgrounds. One wall was kind of, it was kind of like semi-mirrored. It was reflective, but you couldn't really see yourself in it. It was, And then there are a lot of these big foam, grey foam shapes, which could be stacked and built with. And then there were elements like bits of rope and bits of like textiles and kind of wearable blocks. And yeah, it's all quite abstracted and clearly designed to slot in together. And it was fun. I enjoyed being there. It was also really cool to see a lot of children who were in there at the time were really engaging in the space, which was great. And
do you know, as you describe it, it's really intriguing because I'm thinking from the references from it, it's like it's a mixture of bringing an outdoor playground into a museum, an artist sort of an artist like being influenced by the outdoor playground world to create an artistic space, and there's a part of my brain going, you know, soft play centres. Like, do you know, all these different, like, that's a completely different experience, but what makes it part of a museum? It's really interesting about the way we frame stuff. And I wonder then how that, you went in that, if you're in that place in the museum, then you went on to other bits in the museum. Do you think you're taking that playfulness with you, or that different way of thinking?
This was a big thing for me that I kept thinking about was that thing of, like, I really love the space and it was really cool that it was there, but what about the rest of the space? How do the children move to that space?
Yeah.
And in the other space, you know, is it, this is the play space, it's like segregated off.
Yeah.
And then the rest, and then do you have to behave a different way in the rest of the museum? Wondering kind of like, how is that handled? As actually, a friend of mine had an experience taking her three children, all under 10, to a what was meant to be like an immersive play experience at a museum.
Yeah.
And they really weren't fussed by the actual exhibition. Right. But then spent loads of time playing with an artwork outside that they weren't meant to be. But they were just like, this is the thing.
And
it's like, how do you manage that? You know, like,
because that goes back to your point about you start where the child is at and their body and their response to the space and the place, or you go, we've decided this is the theme and we'll give you a way in that's playful.
Yeah.
And
then the other thing with this space was I spent a lot of time talking to the invigilator, who...
Are they called invigilators? Is that their way?
Well, this is
that
the thing,
like an exam. What are they called? Yeah,
is it not an invigilator? Is it another word? The person who sits in the exhibition...
Yes, make sure you don't wreck it.
And is like... usually looks like they're trying not to fall asleep. That person. I think I probably asked her more questions than anyone had asked to that point. I think it was a little overwhelming. I was asking her about, because obviously, like, for her, I was like, is this really different to the other exhibitions you work at?
Yeah.
It's like a completely different job. And we had, she was really open and chatting about it, and she is talking about how a lot of her role felt like it was about managing the risk in the space and also resetting the space, which I found the idea of reset. And when she was talking about risk, she was talking about how, she sounded like a play worker and definitely seeing the benefit for that. And then the idea of resetting the space, that one I found really interesting because the idea was like, she was talking about how when it's, there were like empty moments, she'd reset it to how it was at the beginning. And that's maybe a little bit, that was like, for me, that was a clear, that's very different to a playground.
That's more of a space that's got an intention at the beginning. Or that it is an artwork or it's a creation, it has a look. And this is it.
Yeah.
We come and interact here, then we put, and the look doesn't change. We go back to the beginning and start it off again.
Yeah. Which I don't think is inherently bad at all. It's just, it's different. It's definitely different.
Yeah.
I think when I'm sort of managing play space, I really like, I'll maybe do a little bit of resetting at times, but it's definitely not erasing. Like I'll always try to, I try to.
It's sort of recognizing where things have moved on to.
There's that kind of connection through this, so you can see the play that's happened there.
That the trace of others in influencing a space. That's really interesting, that whole division of things into different rooms and what their function is.
I think, and I was with some colleagues and their children, and I think they definitely enjoyed the space, but I think a couple of them, what they loved was going, Baltic has a balcony you can go out onto, because they have a colony of nesting kittiwakes, the seabirds. Wow. It's like inland, it's unusual, all along the side of the building, so like that was the excitement, that seemed to be way more exciting for a couple of kids. So yeah, it's just that interesting thing of there's specific play spaces, but I feel like, is there permission to be playful and playfully move and, be interacting with the rest of the space?
In the public space. And it's almost like that bit of the space is a museum of play for adults, when to think about play more than children. It's really interesting, because if you are thinking that, I want people to come to this museum, I want this museum to have people in it, which is, guess what, the point of them is.
Yeah.
And then the people who've got children get taken by their parents generally, or school trips, or, it's what's appealing, what's educational, and what's permitted. That dividing it into different functions for different age groups, or different activities that are considered appropriate for each group. But like you say, bird watching wouldn't have been on my list of the things that the children would enjoy. But maybe for them it's that, and maybe that's a surprise. The incongruity, I'm in a museum, but there's birds at the top. Maybe that's it's quite a playful, unexpected mixture, isn't it?
Maybe that's the exciting new and novel thing. And
not what they were expecting.
Maybe a playground isn't that exciting in this moment. It comes back to that, like, players playing as just like a part of living rather than a separate thing that you do,
I so think that. And I'm struck as well when you're describing that space about how, from what you described, it's a place that you could kind of go in and move around and physically bump into a big spongy thing. And could you hang off things? It was like a whole body thing. Or maybe not as
there
much.
There was definitely, I think it was very, very cleverly designed in that it allowed for risks, but risk was definitely like quite well mitigated in terms of it being a space that wasn't being facilitated by lots of adults all the time. But yeah, there were definitely elements you could, again, and it was quite limited. It wasn't an adventure playground. So when I say it's limited, that's coming from the bias of being in these other spaces. For a museum space, definitely wasn't limited. There were like the railings you could climb on and play on. There were children stacking the really big foam shapes and getting quite high up in the corner of the room. Also interesting how I noticed the children didn't do what might have been the more dangerous option of stacking up in the middle of the room. They pushed these big shapes right to the corner and stacked them against the back tables, which is that thing of always like, a lot of kids know what they're doing.
In describing that, I'm realizing as well, the children were part of the exhibition then, weren't they, really?
Yeah, which...
You know what I mean? That's kind of like, it's like you're saying, it's a playground without children. So the children are there for the adults to go, oh, look how they're playing. Yeah. This is what play is. They're kind of in it.
Thing that the staff member I talked to was that I asked her about how adults were reacting to the space, and she said that when adults without children wandered in, they generally just seemed to wander right out.
They feel like,
this isn't for me, and we'll try that again, which is it's such a shame. But
it is, because often the adults do take over they often take over children's play in other parts of the museum, don't they? Like, I mean, I know I'm like, can I press that button or push that? Or, you know, so it's quite funny actually that it was maybe too big a leap for them.
Yeah. It's funny you say about, yeah, like the children being part of the exhibition, because the other thought I had was, and it's been true of actually a couple of different play spaces, like kind of similar things I've been to, but, you know, different artists, but the same idea of having a play space in like the museum or the gallery.
Yeah.
Is that all those spaces I've been to have still took on what I feel is like quite a typical character of museum and gallery spaces, of being big open spaces with nowhere to hide, where you feel like you're on display.
Because
I think I've been to three or four different ones, and a big thing that's in these exhibitions, there's no hiding space. You still feel like you're being,
The toilets.
Which is, for me, is such a big part of children, like trying to create space for children is where they can go where they're not being seen.
Because there's an element of surveillance, isn't there? Of, like, protecting the resource, protecting the exhibits.
Exactly.
And
that really,
That's really was interesting.
I feel like that is probably, I think, to have like effective play spaces, that's got to be a consideration when you think about.
Although it's interesting as well, because reflecting on that, I'm also thinking about when I've been in a museum with, you know, as a childcare professional in charge of children, and as a relative.
When you've been in a museum wearing a lanyard.
Yes, you're worried about losing the children, and it's quite interesting. Yeah. They are big open spaces, and they are. Yeah. There's nowhere to hide, and yet equally you can go, where have they gone? Because they moved around the things, you know, and they've kind of moved quickly in a big space. So it's a really, I think on both accounts, like if you're there as someone who, you know, like you say, you're there with children doing things maybe they shouldn't, you don't feel that, you can feel that everyone can see you and judge you, you know, if your children are sort of hanging off something that somehow you feel like, don't swing on that, you know. But equally, they have spaces you can move quite quickly and disappear, like around the corner into the next exhibit. You know, you think, where have they gone? Have they followed something of interest? So that's a really interesting thing about the. You are part of the exhibit.
And I think also it's important to, and a really important point to reflect upon is that does also link into the big thing of not everyone does feel welcome in these spaces.
Absolutely.
That kind of ties into that. I know, for example, a lot of folks who have, like adults who have children, who have like additional support needs or, neurodivergent, and so, like they often don't feel welcome in these spaces. And that element of surveillance feels really dialed up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because surveillance of a kind of visual, but also it's a kind of acoustic surveillance. Like if you make a noise that's out of place, it's amplified, isn't it? You're drawing attention to yourself visually, or not drawing attention. I don't know. Attention is drawn to you by others, maybe. I'm not sure how to explain it, but yeah, you visually might appear different, but also the sound you make, like a library, is that sense of, should I be quiet in here in order so I can look at things and think?
I think you're just on display in so many ways. And that's where probably a lot of the work needs to be done in terms of actually making these spaces that are more accessible.
Playful in different ways.
Leads us into what would you want to see?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. And it's partly because I've probably not been in museums that much recently because of COVID and everything. And I know I was saying the last time I went, I was really recent, and I went to see a Doctor Who exhibition, which I was very excited about and really enjoyed. But it's quite interesting because that was very much tapping into that collection. It's a child's collection of memorabilia idea, you know, and you think, what was its purpose? To educate me about that, or was it just so I could go, look, it's that? And for me, it very much felt like, look, it's that, and also then wanted to touch things and connect with something you enjoy because you're connected to objects, and you could touch some things but not others.
So confusing.
Well, also that delight, like, we can climb in the Dalek, you know. It was like real, and then a sense of, oh no, that's behind from plastic, so we can't. But you know, that's, and I thought, like, oh, where do you, it's a collection and it gets housed in a museum and taken around for groups of us to go and look at. It connected quite easily into what a museum does, I suppose. But yeah. Other museum elements, I'm sometimes mystified by what's in museums, and I just don't know. And it is, and especially given the moment when we talk, there's so much discussion about what have we got in the museum, and who do we steal it from, and what do we do about that?
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
The more that people can go into them and think about that, the better. I feel, like you say, the broader they can be to get people in to contribute to that debate. You know, and if you wander into the Doctor Who exhibition, will you then wander into another bit of the museum? You know, that juxtaposition of things, you know, is really important. So I really don't know. It's an area that's kind of quite new in my mind, but there's so many different tangents you can go off to when you think about it. The physicality, I think the physicality of the space is the thing that is just so important, because it seems such a visual experience, or designed for visual. Like, you move your body around like it doesn't exist, so your eyes can look at things and read little bits of information.
I know, definitely. I generally feel like I feel like I'm having to, like, restrict my senses in these spaces, rather than you know, being able to explore them. I think for me, the big thing comes to mind from this chat, which I think feeds into a lot of the different issues, is just these spaces as living spaces rather than static.
Yeah.
Everything's already decided. The function is fixed. Spaces, which I appreciate is quite abstract. But I think that's about who the spaces are for, and who gets to have an impact on the space, and the
authenticity of it all, as a thing in itself, rather than a place that people think of things have been put to kind of die a bit. It's like it's kind of the living freshness of it all.
It's not just, you know, humanity's junk drawer.
Yeah. Seems kind of a harsh note to end on.
that was a bit damning.
No, it's funny. I thought, should I stop there? No, let's not. So let's move on. Because, it's stuff, isn't it? It's stuff, and the stuff hasn't got meaning by itself. It has meaning because of where it's from and what we know about it and the stories we tell about it. But the stuff itself is just stuff, and it's made of things. And I don't know. It's really, I found thinking about this and coming to have this conversation just made me think a lot. And it's hard to know where to end on it, because we haven't really got the answer. It's more just to sort of say that more thinking, really, isn't it? And more engagement in this, because it's so, make the most of the fact that people are looking at people who have control of these institutions are wondering about it in a way. That's the thing, isn't it? So let's keep that conversation, make that conversation go further, rather than it being, I don't know, like, you know, not token, but rather than it being, oh, here's our play bit.
Yes, absolutely. I think, playfully playing as one of the ways you can just exist in these spaces.
But also play, how can the places themselves be playful when they also kind of bear so much responsibility, don't they? They're very sort of responsible. They have weight of responsibility, museums, and their decisions and their construction and how they, you know, they're very, they have a lot more influence perhaps than we think. You know, on the fringes of our daily life, you know.
I've solved it. We just put all the stuff you're not allowed to touch on the ceiling.
Yeah.
That'd be wonderful.
That's
fun in itself.
Yes. It's defamiliarizing.
Exactly. And then you can enjoy all the objects without being told not to do things.
Yeah, and then you can do what you like.
Space.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. That's
it. Good. Right. That ends our discussion. Fantastic. Right.
Thanks for listening. That was the Play Talk podcast. See you next time.